The news from Lake Wobegon is made possible by new Fiber One Buttermilk Pancake Mix. Each serving of Fiber One pancakes has 20% of the daily value of fiber and 0 grams trans fat, available in new buttermilk and original.
Jesse Roche and Mark Stone. Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown. It's been chilly out there and rainy and windy, and so just about all the leaves are gone, except the leaves on the oak trees. They hold on to the last few of theirs just out of sheer vanity, I guess, but all the other leaves are gone, and the wind is whistling through the branches out in the woods and bare branches up above us, which is a good feeling because you know that if there are cougars lurking up in those branches, you would not be able to see them much better than you could back in the summer. I'm talking about elderly cougars who are no longer able to chase down their prey, but who might climb up into the low-hanging boughs of that tree and hide in the leaves when there are leaves and waiting for somebody slow to come along, say some large older person, some lumbering person, a tall person with glasses. And ordinarily they go for a cat or a dog or a squirrel or something, but here's a big one coming along, and this is easy pickings for a cougar up there. And they go after the sad ones. They can smell depression. They can smell when you're feeling down. So that's why you kind of want to whistle and be cheerful as you're walking out in the woods. But thank goodness these boughs are bare, so you have some warning that there might be cougars up there. They jump down on you, and you know they do you in about 15, 30 seconds. You'd be about a half minute of shock and pain, and then you would go off to heaven with the angels and your wife's family, or you would go off to purgatory with people you know. And Scripture says that we will have new bodies there, but that's for the redeemed. That's not for the people in purgatory. We're just going to be our old glumping selves up there, and your friends will take a look at you when you arrive in purgatory, and they'll say, "Now you a cougar got you, right? I can see that because your ear is hanging off you, and you got one eyeball hanging out, and he chewed off your left arm there." And so you're going to be in purgatory there for a while. Scripture says there'll be no sorrow and no pain, but that's for the redeemed, you see. The purgatory people, we will have just about as much sorrow as we can handle, and maybe even just a little bit more. It's a sorrowful time of year, November, when the leaves are all gone, the trees are bare. Pastor Enquist had to come down to Iowa on a pastoral mission here to try to retrieve his brother-in-law, Bill Tollefson, who's been in the dumps for a while, and then finally came down here to a little town just north of here, into a little hotel on the main street called the Hotel Cran, and have a nervous breakdown, which is kind of an old-fashioned thing to do. Younger people wouldn't know how to do it. It's you have to work yourself up to it, and younger people would go in for counseling. They'd get some kind of pharmaceutical. But he just came to a shuddering stop, and he got himself a little room, 2F, on the second floor of this Hotel Cran, with a whole bunch of old guys sitting around the lobby and dying plants around them and sitting there in their undershirts and coughing from way deep down in the bottom of their lungs. And he got his room up there, and he prepared to die. He was surrounded by old gardening magazines that the previous tenant had subscribed to and had intended to read before he died, but he got farther and farther behind and then just died out of sheer discouragement. And here's Bill, surrounded by magazines that don't introduce him and interest him at all, and he was just feeling depressed. He retired as a school teacher in teaching high school English, and that should be reason to unnerve anybody. All those years of trying to teach Robert Frost and Flannery O'Connor and William Faulkner, these uncomprehending faces in front of you and their mouths slightly open, a bunch of mouth breathers, and they're just staring at you with glazed eyes. It's like lecturing to the halibut down at the fishmongers. lying there on the ice. You just started to feel as if he had wasted his entire life talking to a wall. And then nobody gave him a retirement party because all of his friends had retired before him. And so it was just it. He was done. He just walked down this long hall of the school carrying a carton of books. And he said, "That time of year thou mayest in me behold, when yellow leaves are none or few do hang upon the boughs that shake against the cold, bare ruined choirs where late the sweet birds sang. In me thou seest the twilight of such day as after sunset dieth in the west, which by and by black night doth steal away. Yes, and death's second self, which seals up all in rest. In me thou seest the glowing of such fire that on the ashes of his youth doth lie, as on the deathbed whereon it must expire, consumed by that which it was nourished by. This thou perceivest, which makes thy love more strong, to love that well which thou must leave ere long." Came home, sat around, gained 26 pounds over the summer, took up drinking as a hobby. Fell in love with a woman, a truck driver, 73 years old. She only spoke French. He only spoke English. She danced with him. She twirled him around the floor, and then she dumped him for a younger man. Broke his heart, and then he got all tied up in the quarrels of the ELCA of August and the painful vote. Bill's daughter is gay, and he was arguing for the ordination of gay pastors, and he won. And then he started to feel terrible about it, terrible about that vote. Lutherans are not geared for winning. They're not meant to win. Winning is very sour to a Lutheran. So he went down to this little hotel in a small town down in Iowa, and he turned his face to the wall, and he prepared to die. Pastor Inquist came down to see him. No need to ask him what was wrong. He already knew. You know your own brother-in-law. He just told him to blow his nose. Get yourself cleaned up. You're disgracing your family. You're embarrassing your children. Everybody's got a job to do. You still have a job to do. Come on up north and do it right now. I'm going to wait in the hall for you. Wash your face. Come. He remembered the woodchuck that he saw on the road last summer. Pastor Inquist was following his wife's car, and they were driving in towards town, and he saw the animal waddling across the road, and he honked at her, and she didn't know what he meant, and her right front wheel caught the hindquarters of the woodchuck and flipped it up high in the air, and the animal came down and went limping, skittering off in through the ditch and into the grass. Pastor Inquist pulled over to put the animal out of its misery. He picked up a big rock and he followed it through the grass. He could see it, and it was moving pretty quickly. It was heading for the woods, and he followed it into the woods, and it was ahead of him, and he had the big rock in his hand to crush its skull. And he was running after the animal, and he tripped on a root, and he fell onto the rock and knocked the breath out of him and lay there stunned, and then he heard a hissing sound. And it was the woodchuck who was approaching him up the trail. You see how quickly a pastoral mission can turn around. We each have a job to do. He remembers Ralph of Ralph's Pretty Good Grocery, who stayed open until 10:30 at night sometimes, instead of closing at 9 as he usually would, because there's this odd kid comes in and wants to talk. He doesn't really know who this kid is. He lives out in the country. He walks into town. this nerdy kid who wants to talk about things, and he wants to play his tapes for somebody. Ralph doesn't care for anything he's heard on the tapes, but he understands this is his job, is to pay attention to this person who needs to be respected by somebody. That's what you did all those years as a teacher, says Pastor Enquist. You paid attention to those kids. That was your job. Anything you taught them was bonus. You took them seriously. That's good enough. Now you need to find something else. Pastor said, I played on the worst football team in the state of Minnesota. We went out there in our little uniforms, and the band was playing, and we stood out there, and up came the other team, and they had enormous pads and enormous helmets and big face bars on. And we knew this was going to be an endless evening for us. We were going to get pounded into the ground, and it was discouraging. And you'd look up at attractive women up in the stands, and they gave us a look that said, you're never going to know me at all. I don't want to know you. You're never going to know me, so don't even think about it. But it dawned on him his last year playing football, losing by horrible scores, that this was his job, was to show people in this town that you can get your butt kicked, you can get your nose rubbed in the grass, and you don't need to hang your head in shame. You can stand up and hold your head up and walk away from it. Oh, Bill was so discouraged. He just didn't want to live any longer. What's happening to the Lutheran church, he said? It's just going to go away, and it's all the fault of people like me and this schism. People are leaving the Lutheran church left and right, forming their own churches. I repent of myself. Why did I do all of that? Pastor Enquist said, you know, I went to visit this couple north of town, this old couple in their mid-70s. This couple fought more fiercely than any two people who lived under the same roof. You figure that's why God created marriage, so that people don't have to fight with strangers. They can be cruel to people they know. Marriage counseling was wasted on this couple. They were Norwegian. They thrived on arguments. They each had something angry to say to each other. She once said to Pastor Enquist, I wouldn't give him the satisfaction of divorcing him. That's what he wants, and he's not going to get it. Well, they seem to thrive on this. And so you just had to stand aside and just watch them, observe their marriage. It was a natural phenomenon. It's like my grandfather's church, little Lutheran church out in Oslo Township, out western Minnesota. They were all up in arms over ordaining women. They felt it went against Scripture. It wasn't God's will. It was purely secular. It should not be done. And they were going to break away from the church. A good half of those parishioners were going to leave Zion Lutheran, but they wanted to be buried in the cemetery. That's where Grandpa and Grandma were. Every year there'd be 3, 4, 5 big funerals, people being brought back from Honolulu and from Los Angeles and from Dallas and Phoenix and Tempe, brought back to be buried there next to great-grandpa Hagi and next to Ole and Ingrid and Elu and Anders. So the church had the cemetery. They fought against the ordination of women. And then a woman came to be their pastor. She was the only one who would answer the call. And even though it went against God's will and it was unscriptural, nonetheless, they liked her. So to hell with it. She was German. She said all the prayers. She did the wedding, she did the baptism, she did the funerals. She spoke and didn't say too much. And they were loyal to her, even though it was wrong. These were good country people. They just did what they did. And when they died, they were put down into the ground with the others. Well, this couple, he was close to death. And it drew them together. It just made them happy somehow. They'd lie together and just inhale each other's air. They just lay with their arms around each other, though he only had months to live. It was very tender to see this. He said, "You're happy because you're going to get rid of me." She said, "Yes, that's the truth." "And you're happy because you know that even if you die and go to hell, you're never going to see me there." They never argued after that. There was never an angry word between them. The last few months of their lives, they were as sweet as could be to each other. He had discovered the secret of happiness, but he was dying and he was demented, so he didn't remember what it was. But there's hope for us that we can discover it too. You get up now, you get up now. You look at me now, you get up now. And Bill turned his face to the wall, and Pastor Inquist just reached over and he just slapped him. They don't teach you to do that in pastoral care. But he just gave him a little whack upside the head. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. It's not a becoming, it's not an attractive thing, especially for an older person. You're not the first one to go through this. So just wake up. Pay attention. Get up. Grow up. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, and all the children are above average.
The news from Lake Wobegon is made possible by new Fiber One Buttermilk Pancake Mix. Each serving of Fiber One pancakes has 20% of the daily value of fiber and 0 grams trans fat, available in new buttermilk and original.